Welcome to What is Going Om for New Thought from the Edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello. In a world that's becoming increasingly chaotic, how do we find accurate, innovative answers to the ever-increasing overload of challenges like climate change, megaviruses, divided nations, bigotry, corruption, and a seemingly relentless collapse of truth, integrity, and morals? Let's face it, this doesn't look like the new golden age of enlightenment that so many of us were eagerly anticipating just a handful of years ago. So what happened to that promise of expanding possibilities? Does it still exist? And if so, how can we move beyond the current climate of fear, frustration, and barely coping to growing, evolving, and thriving? With me tonight to answer these questions is internationally recognized pioneer in the field of intuition, development, and personal transformation, Penny Pierce, a lecturer, counselor, coach, and advisor to business and government leaders, scientists, psychologists, and spiritual seekers. Penny Pierce is also the author of an award-winning visionary series of guidebooks on personal and societal transformation. Penny Pierce, welcome.
Good to be back with you again.
It's good to have you on the show. It's always good to have you on the show, Penny. I want to go back to the beginning. I want to dig into your past a little bit because you started out your career as an interior and graphic designer, and you became a corporate art and advertising director. And then you moved to California, which tends to change people. And you described that as a catalyst for an immersion into intuition and metaphysics. No better place. But that ultimately led you into an entirely new career. I'm always fascinated by the stories, behind the stories. So tell us a bit about what specifically triggered that search for universal truths. You know, was there one particular event, or had you always had an interest in these topics?
Yeah, I love those stories too. And I think in some ways it started with my mother, who believed in reincarnation, which was a very odd thing in the Midwest back at that time. But she would tell me that she thought she had lived at the time of, you know, Louis the 15th or something. And I would say, oh, that's interesting. Like, I just knew it already. And I think I started early reading about psychic discoveries behind the Iron Curtain, finding all the mysteries, you know, and also reading like Eric Fromm and transpersonal psychology stuff when I was pretty young. Just looking, always wanting to look below the surface. That I think I'm still like that. You know, I just want to see what caused that, what's under that. And so I went to school and to study interior design, but we had a young graduate student who came in to do a class on the psychology of spaces, which I was like, my ears perked up, and I went, oh, yeah, you know, like the shape of a space is going to change your consciousness. And like, you know, so that woke me up a little more. And then I decided that I wanted to study environmental design after that. I didn't even know what that meant. So, but I got a scholarship to CalArts, which was Disney's dream school that had just gotten going out in California. And I went out there and studied this program. I thought it was environmental design, but it was social design. And it was a combination of social scientists and designers looking at all kinds of, today it's called design thinking at Stanford, but, you know, how do you think through social problems and redesign them? So we redesigned the elevator so people would talk to each other inside, or we redesigned the doctor-patient relationship or the funeral, or, you know, like all kinds of cool things. That got my intuition going in a huge way. I don't think I could have made a transition from ordinary education into doing what I do without something very odd like that. And then I did that, and then I realized I couldn't make a living doing that, so I studied graphics, and I got a job as a corporate art director. And that lasted for a little while until that job took me up to Mill Valley, California in Marin County, right at the time when this huge consciousness movement was happening. And, oh, my gosh, there were so many things, you know, EST and actually, I was able to take classes in clairvoyance development, which I thought, they have classes in this, you know? And I did. I got in and turned out to be really good at it because I was really visual. So one thing really just morphed into the next and the next and the next and the next, almost like I was just on the right path suddenly. I always remember feeling like an imposter when I was telling people I was a graphic designer, even though I liked it a lot, that it's not the real thing. You know, I had that feeling. But as soon as I started looking at the inner patterns of people's lives and the undercurrents of why trends happen and all of that, and then, boy, I woke up, you know. And then that led on to a whole new series of things. I was working with the Center for Applied Intuition in San Francisco, and a lot of the early developments in the consciousness movement were happening right then, and I was right there in the middle of it. But I was still doing graphic design to help, you know, pay the bills. And I think that when you do art or writing, even, because you had to do copywriting as part of this, right, that it keeps your both sides of your brain open and helps connect them. Design is a very interesting practice because it does do that. It's not just pure fine art. It has to be useful. Yeah. So that's the early phase.
When did you write your first book? Because that must have been a tipping point for you.
That really was. One of the tipping points was that I had been working with Kevin Ryerson, who is a trans medium, pretty well known.
Yes. Shirley MacLaine's medium.
Yeah, he worked with Shirley, and he and I were like twin souls or something, you know, like brother sister. So many coincidences you couldn't believe. So we worked together for quite a few years, and he would come to my house in Mill Valley and work there every 2 or 3 weeks. So we had a salon, you know. We had people coming in and out constantly. And I started doing readings as well, and so it was quite interesting. But so that happened, and then I started doing intuition trainings because he was too busy to do them anymore. So then I developed this with another guy. We did that in Los Angeles for quite a few years. And then out of that came I said, you know, I think I'm ready for my next courageous act. And I used to say that to myself, you know, what's next? But what's the next? How do you go beyond the bubble and stretch the scope of things? What's the next courageous act that you haven't done yet? And it was to write a book about basically intuition development, which was based on the training. And so it finally came out in 97, but I was working on it, you know, certainly for the earlier 2 years. So
that was the intuitive way.
That's the intuitive way. And I did that because I was very taken with The Artist's Way, with Julia Cameron's book.
Yes.
And I thought, wouldn't it be nice to do something kind of similar, but for just this thing. And
huge success. I mean, it's been translated in goodness knows how many languages.
At least, I would say, almost 30 now.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's incredible. So that was it. That was the tipping point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very much so.
You've gone on since then to write a series of guidebooks on personal and societal transformation. There's The Intuitive Way, The Definitive Guide to Increasing Your Awareness, Frequency, The Power of Personal Vibration, which I have to say is probably my favourite. But because that's how I first found you.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it for me, it was such a yes, yes, yes kind of book. And then there was Leap of Perception, the transforming power of your attention, and more recently, Transparency, seeing through to our expanded human capacity. Mm-hmm. What is it about transformation that fascinates you so much?
It was a slow development for, before I understood what transformation was and what was happening to us. But once I started doing readings and working with all kinds of people, I mean, I've probably done 10,000 of these now, you know, and people showed me things. But I also was feeling how everything was accelerating, and then more, and then more. And then every year, you know, it got more and more. And I'm thinking, what is happening to us? So I, as my... you know, trend is to go below the surface and look at what is what it really is causing the outer symptoms. And I started to see the principles of it. You know, and I you know, I don't read a lot of other people's books. I was getting all this mainly from my own observation and feeling into patterns and things. You know, so then I realized that we were transforming, but everything then started to come to me that it was all about perception, that as perception changed, reality changed. As perception mm-hmm. changed, our identity changed. You know, like everything was related to how we perceive. And then that started leading me toward the Leap of Perception book, which is how the linear process of perceiving the world, you know, A, B, C, D, E, mm-hmm. past, present, future, is being eclipsed by a spherical, large-scale, present moment reality that is changing everything and how fast things happen. And the old way of thinking is just becoming so slow. You know, it's like antiquated now. But that was all building in me over time. And so in some ways, the books have presented themselves, you know, as I'm ready, and as I think the world is ready, or as the frequency is at a certain level, that we could understand the next level of principles that are happening. Mm. So, you know, that series is kind of like a continuum.
Yeah, for sure. Perception is a topic that has fascinated me since childhood. You know, how we can all view the same thing so differently, and how we can feel one way about something until we shift our perception, and then we feel completely differently. And,
exactly,
you know, it's an endlessly fascinating topic for me. But in, I think it was in your first book, The Intuitive Way, that you said that we are stepping from the information age into the intuition age, and we need to know how that will change us and everything we do for the better. How do you feel about that statement? When you look at what's happening in the world today, we are overloaded with information, and so much of it is untrue, or let's just say it's somebody else's perception. You know, do you still feel that we are moving towards the intuition age, or how do you, you know, reshape that phrase, because we need to rely on intuition all the more?
Absolutely. You know, it's again, here's a continuum. You know, we've gone from the agrarian age to the industrial age. Things have been accelerating for a long time. And, you know, at the end of the industrial age, you know, which was machines, we got the computer. And as that something gets to that critical mass point, it kind of does make that leap into the next phase. And so, of course, we went into the mind from the body, industrial machines, body, and then we jumped into the mind and we have information. And then that started accelerating. And then we got the internet, you know, and then that accelerated the amount of information we have to the point where we can't process it in a linear fashion anymore. Or in another way to say that is with the left brain, in a bit by bit, bite by bite way. It's just too slow. So it's forcing us to make a shift now into the right brain, where there is no language and logic. It is direct knowing, and it's intuition. And that means that the left brain isn't going out of business. It's just not the boss anymore, you know. And so we're now in this process of making that shift and then of integrating the left and right brain in a kind of figure eight pattern where they flow into each other more. and integrate their knowledge more, so it's not so separated. And so what came to me back then was that we have got to learn to move into direct knowing and intuition in order to be able to understand all the new principles that are coming in. Because we can describe them later, but we've got to experience them first. You know, that comes first. So, so that's why I called it the intuition age. And I still think a lot of people are in it. We've made a lot of progress, but now I find when I'm working with organizations and stuff, all they want now is intuition training. You know, it's like they're finally catching up.
I'm not surprised. I remember reading a book, 25 years ago, and it was about top CEOs and how they make their decisions. Mm. And what emerged was they all rely on a hunch, a gut feeling, an intuition.
Right.
So, of course, you know, we have this capacity, and it's interesting that people are only now learning to trust it and wanting to know more about it or develop it. But at the same time, we've got so many people who are just willing to believe what they're told.
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't use their intuition.
Right. Well, there, you know, I think we're in I call it the bridge time right now, where we are waking up or we're staying asleep, you know, and the people who are really waking up, there's like a big bifurcation happening now of people who are choosing fluidity and letting go of their belief systems and identities to be what they really are without having to lock it down in the left brain. And then, because that fluidity is actually so scary to people who've been locked into the left brain, which loves definition, and ego, which is, I think, the maximized left brain, if you will, that a lot of people are just getting so scared that I don't know that they will be able to change, honestly, and I've seen that a lot of people would die. Just to shift the energy on the planet, because the planet and the people here have the chance to really jump to a huge new level. And but I don't think anybody's lost. You know, if people die, they're still here, and they may come back and reincarnate onto a planet that is of their own vibration.
Mm.
It's like it's
you're listening.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm going to hold you. I'm going to hold you there, Penny, because we have to go to the break. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with internationally recognized pioneer in the field of intuition development and personal transformation, Penny Pierce. We'll be back with more from Penny Pierce after the break.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times' flagship radio show, What Is Going On? As a long-time editor, book judge, spiritual magazine publisher and radio host, I've read thousands of books and interviewed hundreds of authors and teachers, so I know what's worth reading and what isn't. Now, with the spiritual book market growing increasingly crowded, more and more people are seeking my help in finding the authentic voices, the empowering tools, and the genuine skip the BS guidance that will make the most difference to their spiritual development. So I decided to make it easier by bringing my knowledge, experience, and considerable network of contacts together in the No BS Spiritual Book Club. There are no ads, no joining fees, no obligations, and no BS. Just an ever-growing library compiled by recognisable and respected names of the 10 best books that help them the most on their journeys. Plus, free book excerpts, audios, and live video interviews where you can quiz them about their spiritual journeys and their 10 best list choices. Your time and money are valuable, your spiritual journey even more so. If you're looking for genuine guidance from people who've walked this path before you, check out sedgbeer.com. Click on the No BS Spiritual Book Club tab and join the club. That's sedgbeer.com, S-E-D-G-B-E-E-R.com. I'll see you there.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called the Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Penny Pierce, you were talking before the break about a number of people who cannot make the transition, cannot make the evolution, shall we say, and are probably choosing to leave. And that is quite a poignant thing to say right at this very moment where, you know, the world is aghast and getting very, very scary for many people because of the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Do you think that when we reach these pivotal moments in our history where we have the opportunity to make those leaps, that nature helps those that aren't willing to make the leap along a little?
I think so. I think nature has had a role in it, whether it's earthquakes or, you know, cataclysms of some sort or floods or whatever it is. But also, I think, you know, I'm a big proponent, I suppose, or of spirit actually working telepathically with people. Mm. I think there's a lot of help from the non-physical realms, a really lot of help. And there's always a way that something can kind of crack people open. You know, it could be just somebody says something and a certain phrase hits them or some personal event or whatever it is. But there's many opportunities for people to wake up and start to see things differently. I think the energy on the planet does a lot of the work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, yeah. If you've been sort of programmed or brought up with very strong belief systems and or fears that your parents were very fearful or anxious or angry or whatever, it's very hard to get through that, and yet you can. You know, so I don't feel any of this is dire and terrible, but I think we're in a time where choice is paramount, and I think it's like make your choice now, you know, and just don't stall any longer.
Yeah. I think it was in the intuitive way that you spoke about a process of evolution that you said everyone is going through. Mm-hmm. And you said that there were 9 stages in that process.
Yes, that's in frequency, actually, the beginning
frequency.
Yeah, I kind of outlined the transformation process with some stages, you know, and certainly that's not locked in stone or anything. But I just tried to kind of sketch the process out so people could understand it.
Well, tell us about the actual stages so people can recognize.
Well, just to summarize it then, I think the first phase is that as the acceleration on the planet gets faster and faster, it raises the vibration of our own bodies because bodies are made of the earth. You know, they're connected to the mm-hmm. physical world. Everything in the physical world is going faster. So as the body gets faster, that then affects the emotional body, which is also starting to vibrate faster, and the mental zone, you know, which is going faster. Because we're starting to get a sense that spirit, which is the very high frequency, is inside matter, that it isn't out in heaven somewhere, that these things are all part of one reality. So as then we increase in frequency, we start to yearn for higher explanations. And you'll notice in the early years, it was like we would have a lot of books coming out about angels and ETs and near-death experiences and things that were touching into the non-physical realms, starting to make them real and more tangible to people. And so as that goes on, then we start to, you know, a lot of people go on a spiritual path. But basically, the physical body at the same time starts to get so agitated because everything that used to be able to be suppressed in the subconscious mind down below the surface can't stay there anymore because the frequency of that zone has gotten too high. And so things that were able to be ignored come up into the conscious mind. And in that way, it's like they are relived or that you have an experience that's parallel to something that happened to you before. And you have to face things. But a lot of people then don't face it, and they try to push it back down again with willpower. And you can do that for a little while, but it won't work forever because the energy of the acceleration is too great. It's like water behind a dam. So you can keep pushing things down, and you can use fight-or-flight technologies to do that. You know, you can run away and avoid things and give your power to some kind of leader. Or, you know, you can try to fortify and be dominating. Or, you know, you can, face it and start to understand why it was there in the first place, and then it clears. And then we start into this phase of clearing the subconscious mind and getting rid of fear so that more of the soul's truth and guidance can flow through into our personality and into our mind. And so there's this whole process of, and I think this is where we are. So you push it down, you ignore it, you mm-hmm. get angry when somebody's telling you you have to let go of something, you know, but some people are getting very, very clear and other people are in great resistance. The ego is basically having to die to its role of boss and leader and become the implementer, whereas the soul and the right brain are the ones that are giving us accurate information now. So we have to access with the right brain and through the imagination, bring it back down and through to the left brain and make meaning out of it, then let go of it and go back out and access from the right brain, bring it back in again. This round trip, if you will, in consciousness. So we're learning that right now. But if you resist for a long time, pretty soon you get exhausted. And a lot of people are at that point now. They're overwhelmed. They're tired of trying to maintain their old reality and trying to get it to work. They're desperate from, you know, trying to keep life the way it used to be. And so that exhaustion is actually kind of a good thing because it will wear down the left brain's cleverness. And there's a point at which we just stop and pause and say, I can't make it work anymore with my willpower. And that's the point of entry, right? That's the bottom of the hitting bottom, I guess they call it. And then you get insight. Now you start to come back, but from the point of view of a different identity as being the soul. You know, and at that point, then, it's not like you're reborn in a way, but you see things differently. Mm-hmm. Reality looks different. You understand things function differently. And this is where perception has changed. So some of us are in that now and really experiencing some of the symptoms of that, which part of it is collective consciousness. We are learning to be both individuals and part of groups. Now, that's something that I think we'll see more and more of now as we go along. But that's kind of, in a nutshell, what's going on.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, being around people in the spiritual arena for so long and everybody having such high hopes for what they thought was going to happen after 2012, and then suddenly it's not happening. A lot of people, I know, have thrown their hands up and said, I give up. I'm not going any further. You know, I feel like I've been, you know, sold a pup or something. You know, it's all been a lie. Or, as you say, they're running out of steam. Yeah. And the more we see resistance in the world, you know, in the form of, you know, so much hatred that's being shared, so many, untruths, etc., fake news, if you like, it becomes harder and harder for people to hold that frequency. So,
well, when you contract and resist, it lowers your vibration.
Yes, absolutely.
And when you open up and trust and let things flow and enjoy surprise, it increases your vibration. And so I think we have to learn that by trial and error and say, see, it doesn't work for me to go into fear over all this.
Yes.
Why don't I just, you know, it's like with the stock market and the coronavirus, you know, like, you know, praise Allah, but tie your camel to the post, you know. don't go into panic, but take care of things, right?
Yes.
Do what you can, everything, but don't add to the fear in the world.
Yeah, and that's something that is very easy to say and can be very challenging. It's almost like there's a hiccup in there. There's a little place that people have to get beyond in order to change their perception about it and raise their vibration. It's getting over that little hillock, you know, that is the hard part.
Yeah, it's when you go into fear, it's like you create a wall right in front of yourself.
You know,
and then you hit the wall constantly as long as you maintain the belief in the fear. As soon as you stop creating the fear and just relax, the wall disappears.
Do you have any actual practical exercises or things that you can, you know, offer to people for those moments when they need a bit of extra help?
I'm one who always kind of tries to go down to the core of what's really causing something, of course. And so what I find is that when we perceive the world as separate from us, in other words, like there's a line around me and outside of that line is the, quote, outside world, and it's so big and scary and so powerful that it has power over me. But that is a viewpoint that we ourselves created. So we're giving the power to the outside world by seeing the reality that way. So I think we have to catch ourselves when we start to see that line around ourselves and the inside-outside reality. Because there really is no outside reality. There's no line. Mm. The whole unified field is our body. The whole world is our reality. Everything's inside of us. And when you're sitting in the center of a big ball, and you realize everything else is part of you, then it can't attack you because it's not oppositional anymore. Now, this is a metaphysical principle, but you can imagine it in your mind when you meditate, that I'm in the center of a ball, and it goes out around me in all directions, and I fill that ball with my own, I call it home frequency, you know, the soul's vibration in the body. Sometimes I picture it as diamond light or sparkles of diamond light that's just filling everything and like fairy dust or something, and sit in it. That will change your vibration from fear to love and unity. But if you start to think, what about that virus over there? It could come and get me. Then you can start to create that reality. So if you get calm and centered and allow things to do what they need to do. If you don't need to get the virus, you won't get it. If you need to get it for some lesson, you will.
Yeah.
You know, but we don't need to worry about that. Somehow we have to trust ourselves. That's all I know. But centering is like the big deal.
Yes, absolutely. You also talk about skillful perception and new attention skills.
Yes.
Tell us briefly what they are. I mean, how is skillful perception different from any other kind of perception?
Right. Well, skillful perception, I believe, is a Buddhist concept, but it's basically about perceiving life in such a way that you don't create any more fear. You don't add more fear to the world, that you dissolve the fear that already exists and remember the clarity of the way life really is, which is the spiritual realm, the universal laws and principles. So every time you stop a fear thought and get centered and back into placing attention on what truly is behind the scenes, you dissolve pain and suffering to some degree. That is skillful perception. And, you know, I think it's a choice. Are you going to add negativity? Are you going to criticize people? Are you going to be sarcastic? There are very subtle forms of violence that we allow to exist, you know. And I think we have to examine ourselves for our penchant for allowing ourselves to be mean. And it doesn't mean not truthful, but you know what I mean. It's like there are ways that we act that are punishing. And those are just one thing I think we can knock out of our reality.
Yeah, for sure. That's a very good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and my guest is internationally recognized pioneer in the field of intuition development and personal transformation. Penny Pierce and I are talking about her award-winning visionary series of guidebooks on personal and societal transformation. We'll be back with more from Penny Pierce after the break.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Penny Pierce, we've skated across the barest, you know, just touched the barest tip of the iceberg of your books, The Intuitive Way, Frequency, Leap of Perception. Before we talk about the latest book, Transparency, there's something I just want to backtrack to. And I don't remember in which book you mentioned this, but you talked about men's form of enlightenment and women's form of enlightenment being different. Can you explain to us what those differences are?
It has something to do with the way our brains are wired up. You know, it's, you know, women have more fibers connecting the left and right side of the brain through the corpus callosum, and men have fewer. So men have a tendency to perceive unilaterally with one side of the brain at a time, and to work with their intuition. They certainly have it, but they almost need to make a choice to shift, where women have very little choice because it all happens kind of merged together at once. So I think that men's form of enlightenment comes from that thing where they go off into caves and monasteries and separate themselves, because it's based on separation. They separate out from, temptations in the physical world and sexuality or women and family and so forth. And often then, you know, Buddhism and certain kinds of ascetic practices, I think, have come out of that. Whereas women, because they're merged with everything, they're already part of the earth. They're like in the land. They're with their children. They're part of the food. And so their form is much more sort of everyday, down to earth, not so rarefied. They find life and divine and spiritual energy in everything, rocks and trees and animals and insects, you know. And so it's just, I think, a slightly different form. But, you know, the patriarchy over many years has clung to this more ascetic form. So I'm not stereotyping at all, but, you know, it's a general trend, I think.
As we're evolving, do you think that's going to change? And do you see any evidence of change in the younger generations, the new kids, the millennials, etc.?
Yeah, I do think it's evolving because partly of this need for the left and right brain to come into balance with each other. The more we shift to the right brain and open up intuition and then bring that intuitive knowing back in and make it meaningful and implement it, the more we will have this sense of, you know, personal integration. Mm-hmm. We won't think that we can conquer nature, you know, because we are nature. You know, we won't have that sense of power over.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. So transparency, seeing through to our expanded human capacity, is the latest book, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it is the next step in the transformation process. So tell us a little bit about what you mean by transparency.
In the previous book, I was talking about the leap of perception and how we start to get into the whole spherical and holographic way of perceiving. And as we start to do that, and everything's in the ball with us, you know, there's no outside world, and that helps us start to clear the fear. Because when you have separation, you have fear. When you have unity and everything in the present moment, what can work against us? It's all working together, and you have revelations about this mutual support. And you know, I'm an individual at this frequency, but then as I raise my frequency, I become part of groups. And the groups become part of larger groups. And pretty soon, the same, you know, we're all the same self at some point, with no loss. Everything's contained in that self. So that's a process. And what that does, as we have those revelations, the fear disappears. And the fear is what makes us kind of dense and cloudy and, you know, unable to be fluid. So the more we clear fear, the more transparent we become. And when you are not holding big ideas about who am I, I'm a so-and-so, and the ego fades into the background, then what I think happens at that point is that we are able to transmit, we are the soul at that point. We have a shift in identity. I'm not the ego and the left brain and the body. I'm the soul who's creating those things to have an experience in the world. So then as the soul, I have wisdom gained from my connection to all other souls. There's no walls, no lines of separation. And that means that we have genius ideas. We start to be able to be creative in amazing ways. We have much more compassion as the ground of being and as our evolutionary force. It's not the survival of the fittest anymore. It's compassion that involves us. And so transparency then is that state of letting go of everything that's keeping the flow from happening, really, you know. And, you know, in the beginning, we're thinking of it as transparency of information, right? You know, like, but that's not all it is. That's just the first step.
Mm. Would you, I mean, vulnerability, when I think about transparency, I also think about vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think people are open to being more vulnerable, but they're also afraid of being more vulnerable because they're, you know, with the internet, with, you know, social media, etc., others are very, very quick to judge and close down people who are transparent and vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. that's the bridge time again, right? We're going to have people who are still afraid to be open, and then we're going to have people who see that it's just the most practical thing, that if you want to do good work, if you want to be successful, that you let it all out, let it flow. But it doesn't mean you blab all over the place about who you are and all that. It's a kind of a natural appropriateness that happens, and it works. Once you see it working, it's so effortless that you just settle into it. It just feels so good. Work we do to, maintain an image and be liked. When you let go of fear, you don't have that anymore. You're just fine being yourself. And then the thing is, when you're relaxed about being yourself, other people relax around you, and then they can be themselves with you. And so that kind of authenticity has great power. It's contagious. So it just means just practice. And pretty soon people will either leave your reality and go somewhere else, or they'll start to open up and be more like that themselves.
Hmm. Are you planning, is there another book after Transparency in this series? Or are you turning your attention to... Oh, there is. Okay.
Yes.
Will you tell us about that one?
Forming it now, but I can't... I don't want to say anything. It's like it jinxes it beforehand. But it will be really practical, and it will address so many of the issues that are happening in society right now. It's kind of like a segment of Transparency going into depth over these things.
Good.
So... I get things right at very timely. When I got Transparency, you started hearing the word on the news almost like every day coming out of everybody's mouth. So this is going to be another one like that, I think.
Mm. You share very hopeful messages. And looking around at the world today, it is easy to see why some people get so depressed about it. Do you ever have days where you have to lift yourself up and, get over that wall?
Right. Like last night I dreamed I had the coronavirus. And and in the dream I was correcting my attitude about it. And, I get caught up in the mass, flows of negative thinking. But I recover quickly. And, But a lot of it has to do just really with trust, trusting yourself, trusting your life purpose. I'll be here as long as I need to be here, and I'll do what I need to do, because this is a time where I've been waiting for it for a long time. So I can correct myself fairly easily, but I think we all can. When you say, I'm here to do what I really love and want to do. Because I think even our deaths are powerful. Whenever we do go, it can serve as a lesson for people, too. So, whatever. I don't have a fear about death.
Mm. You've written a book about dreams. How important are dreams for you? And also, how prescient are your dreams?
I think dreams are very important because... everything is a dream. We are creating this reality from the imaginal realm constantly, whether we're asleep or awake. And it's a continuum, day, night. It's like we are just living at different frequencies. So during the day, we've slowed ourselves way down into physical reality, and at night we relax that definition and we move out and fly around and have time in all the other dimensions. But it's still us doing that. And so, in a way, dreaming, and if you work with your dreams and learn to interpret symbols and see that everything you do is real and it is about your evolutionary process, everything you dream has to do with how you're evolving, your growth process. So there's no such thing as bad dreams. It could be that you're paying attention to something that is in the process of clearing at that moment. Mm-hmm. But it teaches you a tremendous amount about intuition development. And then you can use that to, program yourself to be able to use those higher states during the night that maybe you can't quite reach during the day.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, they do, you know, what comes up in dreams sometimes we work on during the day and vice versa. So
yes,
I think it's a
indeed.
Very powerful thing.
Yeah. Now, you've worked in the U.S., Japan, Europe, South America, South Africa for a long, long time. Mm. You coach business and government leaders, psychologists, scientists, celebrities, all kinds of people. And you said earlier that more and more you are being asked by corporations and businesses to teach about intuition. Do you really think, I mean, I was having a conversation earlier today with somebody who had a wonderful job with the bank, and the bank has just fired all of their tellers because they want to save money, and they're trying to encourage all the elderly people to go online, and that led to a conversation about how business is becoming less and less personal and more about the bottom line. And it's interesting to hear you talk about leaders wanting to know more about intuition. Seems to be that we've got this kind of push me pull you thing going on here. On the one hand, many corporations just, you know, they don't really care about people, and on the other hand, everybody wanting to know about intuition, and if they know about that, then they're going to have to care about people.
Right. Well, it's the same thing. Corporations are, you know, have individual status, don't they? I mean, they are like individuals in their consciousness, and some of them are waking up, and some of them are fighting to stay with the old forms. And those that are fighting for the old way, they do not have compassion. They don't understand what's going on, and they're retrenching into things that give them security, so money and profit and so forth. But the new ones are looking at new methodologies for understanding how life is working, what the goals of corporations really can be, higher goals, and also connecting, you know, groups are connecting with other groups. So I think there's going to be more collaboration and less isolationism, you know, so, and less hierarchy and flatter structures where everybody has responsibility. And you're not overpowered by boss people. You know, everybody has to start taking responsibility. And so some, especially younger organizations, but some of existing organizations, are actually taking advantage of this new consciousness, and they're understanding that their methods are outdated. They're not getting the results they used to get. So what is going on? That's where understanding the shift from information age to intuition age is going to be really helpful for business people. They have to understand new perception in order to understand the new processes, the new principles that are going to govern business. So it's, you know, it's still the bridge time.
Yeah.
You know,
so despite all the chaos, despite all the fear and the frustration, you have great hope for the future. Yes.
Yeah, I see it. It's already existing, that, and we're working backwards now, you know, to get it to happen. And I think we will achieve a critical mass of consciousness, which doesn't take that big a percentage, actually, for it to start becoming prevalent, because a lot of the communication of this new reality is telepathic, meaning it's in the present moment and it doesn't take time to cross a gap or something. It's immediate. And it's resonant. When someone resonates to the truth, someone who's like tired of the old thing will go, oh, wait, there's an answer. Oh, look over there. That person's doing it better than I am. How can I do it? You know, and I think it will just get around. And I do think we have help. Like I said before, that we have non-physical beings who are really here to help. And I think they do help by working with energy patterns and inner blueprints and helping to shift those into higher functioning structures. Then the physical plane comes back down out of that structure and materializes. They also help with kind of telepathy, like I was saying, helping to place thoughts like, oh, I think I'll call so-and-so today. Suddenly, you know, oh, I wish you, I'm so glad you called. You know, I was just thinking about you. These kind of things are happening, whether you need to meet somebody that's going to be a partner for your new business or somebody who can help you get the idea you need. These things are being coordinated.
Yes, I don't doubt that for one minute. Penny Pierce, we are almost out of time.
I thought that was fast.
Always, always a delight to talk with you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, really, truly.
Good. Thank you, Penny. We'll have you back on the show when that new book comes out.
Okay.
Okay. Talk to you then.
Okay.
You can learn more about Penny Pierce's books, The Intuitive Way, Frequency, Leap of Perception, Transparency, and more at her website, which is pennypierce.com, PennePierce.com. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. You can learn more about me and my work and the No BS Spiritual Book Club at sedgbeer.com. In the meantime, I'll be back next week with another edition of What Is Going On. Till then, it's goodbye from me.